Okay, so we were discussing the past few days about Lo Sasser, and then we got into a conversation about Minhagim and Brachas on Minhagim, so I felt it was an appropriate segue to discuss a little bit about the interplay between Minhagim and Halacha. So let's begin with the Gemara in Shabbos, which shares with us the concept of Nitna Torah v'nischadsha Halacha, that when the Torah was given, so everything was brand new, and that which was beforehand was nischacha, was the reset. Moving forward from Kabbalah Torah was the giving of the Torah. And the example the Gemara talks about is whether or not there's a connection between Tumas Leida of a woman and the Bris Milah B'Yom HaShemini for a boy. And the Gemara says, well, they're not connected because Doros HaRishonim, Yochichu, the previous generation will prove to you that the Imaos were not subject to Tumas Leida, and yet the children had a Bris Milah and they ate. So they're clearly not connected. And the Gemara's response is, Nitna Torah v'nischad shalacha, that once the Torah was given, so everything was reset. And the fact that that may have been true in Doros Rishonim has no impact on the current generations. And the Rambam reiterates this point in Hilchas Avelis when he talks about the Avelis that we keep is Minat Torah on one day only. Even though it was given to the Shvatim, clearly sat Shiva, v'yasla aviv evel shivas yamim, still, Nitna Torah, Nischadsha Halacha. And the Rambam again repeats the concept. And when he goes through the various halachas in the Mishnah, in the Perek Gid Hanasheh, he says, you have to know, She'ata Tzarech Ladas, you have to be aware, She'kol Masha Anu Noag Nizharim Mimenu, all that which we're careful from not doing, O Osim Oso Hayom, or that which we do, Ein Anu Osim Zos El Mipnei Tzivoy Hashem Aydei Moshe. Only because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe, who passed on to us. But not because Mipnei Shetziva B'kachlan V'yim Shekadmu, that which he taught Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, not to eat Avram Nachai, and Gidanasha and Bris Mila, all of those, although they may have been written in the Torah, since they're pre-Matan Torah, they're of no relevance to us now. Nitna Torah V'nischad Shehalach. Now this idea of the Rambam and the Gemara flies in the face of a different Rambam. The Rambam tells in Hilchos Melachim Perek Tes that Al Shisha Devarim Nitztava Adam Rishon, Adam was commanded on six different mitzvos, and Rambam delineates each one of them. And even though we received them from Moshe Beinu, he still felt the need to add them, to list them, and then, you know, Noach were given, and then Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, and going down the list until we had a total of 613, ultimately completed by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question, I assume, I know some of you had discussed this during Seder, the question is, how come the Rambam lists the history of the mitzvahs and even mentions that the mitzvahs were given to Adam if we don't keep the mitzvahs because they were given to Adam, rather we keep them because they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, to us ultimately. The Rambam's Mishneh Torah is a book of halacha. It's not a history book. So why does he tell us his whole history? Now there are occasions, I once asked Rav Asher Weiss about why in Hilchas Avodah Zarah the Rambam describes a little bit about the history, because Rav Soloveitchik felt that everything in here is for a reason halachically. He has a chiddush when it comes to, I think it's Chanukah. There's a little bit of a hakdama about the history of Chanukah, and he proves a halachic chiddush from that. They asked Rav Asher Weiss, how can the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, it has a whole history of Avodah Zarah? And Rav Asher Weiss had no problem with saying that the Rambam could tell stories also. And it doesn't mean there's a halachic ramification. Okay, but either way, so if that's the case, there's no Shiloh here. He's just listening to what happened, but there is no relevance to us now. I'm assuming, like Rav Soloveitchik, that there is some halachic reason that the Rambam tells us the history of how the mitzvos came about. So what is that reason? And how does that work with the other Rambam, that Nitna Torah v'nischad shalacha, and that we only keep the mitzvos because they're given to Moshe Rabbeinu, not to the avos? So we have a pasuk that I hope we all know, of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marisha Kiyas Yaakov. That Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, and there's also Marisha Kiyas Yaakov, that there are two elements of the Torah. There's the element of the Torah and there's the element of the Marisha. So what is the difference between Torah and Marisha? And secondly, how come Moshe is coupled with Torah? And why is Yaakov coupled with Marisha? Now we're in the transition period between the Avos of the end of Sefer Bereishis, now into the Moshe Beinu Tekufa Sefer Shmos. So So there's some transition going on. There's a difference of the book of Bereishis, the book of the Avos, and the books of Moshe Rabbeinu moving forward. So why is one connected to Torah, one's connected to Marasha? Further, I'll just throw another question in there as well. So we say every single day Shema. Now those who are learning Daf Yomi, we're going to start learning about more Shema, the upcoming Dapim. So we say in Shema, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad, and then we say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olilam Ve'ed. Now Baruch Shem, if you look in Parshas Veschanan, where Shema is found, you're not going to find the words Baruch Shem. Moshe did not record the words Baruch Shem. He didn't say, though, he wasn't given the words Baruch Shem. Where do we get Baruch Shem from? Vayechi. Who said it? Yaakov. So Yaakov said Baruch Shem. Moshe didn't say Baruch Shem. So that itself is interesting. Why do we say Baruch Shem if it's in the Torah, it's not there? So let's try to understand Yaakov versus Moshe, Torah versus Marasha, and hopefully all this will become clear. We have two relationships with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a people. Im kavadim, im kibadim, im kavadim. Sometimes we're children, and sometimes we're servants to Hashem. Sometimes we're the son, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the father, Avinu Shebashamayim. And sometimes we're the servant, we're the Eved, and Hashem is the master. So, master Eved, father, son. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov represents the father, and Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav, is a master, represents the master. So in the Torah we have, the Torah is a book of laws. It's a constitution. It's what a Rabbeinu teaches the Eved what to do and what not to do. And then there's something else called a Marasha, which is like a Masorah, which could encompass Minhagim, which comes from your father. Your father's Minhagim, how to daven, standing up or sitting down for Kiddush. All these things is a Yerusha. A Marasha is more of a accurate term. Yerusha is a piece that Rav Soloveitchik once spoke about. Yerusha is inheriting property. Marasha is inheriting a legacy, a dynasty, a heritage of some sort. So Yaakov Avinu represents father to a son, which is a Marasha. Father gives a child Minhagim, a Mesorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu represents giving the halachas, giving the rule book, the constitution, to his children. Now these are two very different ideas. Now we'll see when the two come together, they overlap. But you could have an individual, the people in this world, they're Yidden, who are very traditional, but not observant. They have a Jewish identity. They connect perhaps to the state of Israel. They'll come for Kol Nidre, but not the rest of Yom Kippur. They'll come maybe for a Seder, but they'll drive and won't keep all the halachas. But they're traditional. Their tradition is not quite what we would expect the tradition to be, but there's a concept of tradition without observance. Not that we would promote such a thing, but you could see the difference. And you could have those who are observant, following halacha, but may not be traditional. They might try to change certain halachas. So, you know, women hakafos would not be traditional. Women wearing tefillin. So although halachically, you could prove, you can make a very strong argument how a girl can wear tefillin, but that wouldn't be traditional. That's not our mesorah. So there's observance of halacha, but then there's tradition. So you can have the two of them separate, but we have to combine both of them together, balancing between Torah, the halacha, the Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the element of the Yaakov Avinu, the Marasha, the Mesorah, the Minhagim that we have. So included in Marasha, before we get to how it clashes with halacha in a second, let's just speak. We know what Torah is. Torah is Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebalpeh. And how do you define Marasha? What examples of a Marasha? So you saw in the Marmar Komos that the Meiri has this idea, and Rav Yosef Engel talks about this also. He picks up on this Meiri. I think it's either in Gilyoni Ashas and Psachim Daf Zayin or here in Yuma, Chav Ches. I don't remember which one. But he talks about the Indian of Zrizim Makdimin L'Mitzvos. Now just as an interesting background, the Gemara in Psachim Daf Zayin and Beis tells us that we keep the concept of Zrizim is learned out from Avram, by Yashkem Avram Baboker. He woke up early in the morning to perform the Bris Milah. And Rashi there writes, it says, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Gabe the Bris Milah. Now, I'm not sure if any Bali Kori here, I'm not going to put you on the spot if you are, but if you take a look inside Parshas Vayera, where it says Vayashkim Avram Baboka three times, it does not mention it anywhere by Bris Milah. It says Vayashkim Avram Baboka, he woke up early in the morning to daven after stone. Vayashkim Avram Baboka to go send away Hagar. Vayashkim Avram Baboka to perform the Akedah. It says Vayashkim Avimelech in the Parsha also to send back Sarah. But it doesn't say Vayashkim Avram Baboka anywhere by the Bris Milah. So what's Pshat in the Gemara? And what's Pshat in Rashi saying it says it next to Bris Milah? So the answer is, I believe, is you're right. It doesn't say it by Bris Milah. If you look in Parshas Vayera, it says a number of words indicating Zrizus. One of the other interesting sources for Zrizim that the Gemara uses, that how do you know a person should be Makdim Atzmo LeMitzvah? Because with Benos Lot, after the destruction of Sodom, so Benos Lot got their father drunk, and the Bechir, the older daughter, was zochah to have generations of kings before the younger one. So that, even though it's a very strange source, it's not really a mitzvah, but it really is a mitzvah, however that works, but that is a pasuk found in Parshas Vayera. In the beginning of Vayera, it talks about Avram running around to serve the Malachim. Maru, Ratz Avram, all that running around. But nowhere does it say Zerizus by Bris Milah. If you look in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram was a great tzaddik. He walked with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was Tamim. But it doesn't say anything about Vayashim Avram Aboker. It doesn't say anything about Zerizus in Parshas Lech Lecha. So the answer is, what changed between Lech Lecha and Vayera? What made Avram into a person who is Zariz? The answer is he got a Bris Milah. At the very end of Lech Lecha, he received his Bris Milah, he now became a new person, and he started running around. He had a Kedushas Yisrael to him. So now, even though the Bris Milah may not have been done through Vayashkim Avram Aboker, but Bris Milah created, it added a certain Midah in Avram of Zrizus. So now the Gemara understood, well, if Bris Milah creates Zrizus, it certainly should be done in an ofen of Zrizus. So either way, Zrizim is not a mitzvah, a Torah. Doesn't exist in the Torah as one of the mitzvahs. So why do we have a concept of waking up early in the morning to perform a Bris Milah and Zrizus for every other mitzvah? It's simply, Le'echoz b'darchei ha'avos. There's a concept to grasp on to the midos, the derech eretz, the way of the avos. And if Avram Avinu hadn't been Vayashkim Avram Aboker, we may not have been commanded that later on either. It's not a mitzvah. But if Avram did it, this is part of our morasha. It's part of the Mesorah, the Minhagim that we have in following the same ways as our Avos. Tzadok HaKohen, he writes in a very stark way here, that person has no, who has no Derech Eretz, it's a simin, Shein Bo Reach Torah, and he's not part of the Morasha of the forefathers, because the Derech Eretz that we have, the Midas that we have, are ingrained within us from the Avos, from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I put on the Mar Makomos this Aruch Laner, beautiful Aruch Laner. We all know that we were taught Kol Torah Kula B'mei Imo. We were learning with the Malach for 9 months, and we left, the Malach tapped us above the lip, and we forgot everything. So I would have thought, had I not seen this Aruch Laner, what did I learn? I learned all of Gemara, Tanakh, Shulchan Aruch, everything. All the Svarim in the Beis Medrash. But I wouldn't have thought I learned Midos there, Derech Eretz. But says the Aruch Laner, Yesh liten tam lama gazer chachmas abore, kein, shekemo shalom din lo kol Torah kula, kein lom din lo bezeh hisnagus hamidos. We learn proper Midos. We learn proper Midos when we're in our mother's womb. That's an element not from Torah, Moshe necessarily, but from the Marasha of Yaakov. So we see Marasha is a certain heritage that we have, a legacy that we have, how to act from being Lechos B'darchei Havos. But what becomes really interesting though is when you have the two of them clash. The Halacha and the Marasha. So, we have a Gemara in Brachos that tells us, not sure what Brachos to say in drinking water. We all know the answer is Shaak only Abidvaro, but there was a Machlokas, maybe it's Borei Nefashos. And the Gemara wants to know, how do you paskin? And the Gemara was Machri the Din based on Pok Chazi Mai Amadavar, which the Gemara invokes a number of times. Go out and see what the people are doing. Whatever they're doing, that's right. We're machriya the din based on a minhag. There's an incredible ma'isa from Rabbi Kivi Eger that some people found the Sefer Torah and they weren't sure who wrote the Sefer Torah. It was a beautiful Sefer Torah. A beautiful ksav, the osios were perfect, but they didn't know who the sofer was. Who cares who the sofer was? What difference does that make? The Apikoros writes a Sefer Torah, so the halacha is you would burn it. So now, do you burn it, or do you use it and read it? So they weren't sure what to do. There's no way to figure it out. There's no name signed to it. So they asked Rabbi Kivi Eger what to do. Rabbi Kivi Eger writes, or he said, look at the last few psukim. And if all the osios there are the same exact as the rest of the Torah, you should burn it. Because that means the sofer did not follow the minhag, the practice of inviting the local rabbanim, local friends and family, to sign an os at the end. And even though that is not a minhag brought down, you know, in the poskim necessarily, it's a minhag that's been practiced for however many years that might be. And if a person doesn't follow that minhag, no matter how small, inconsequential it might be, it's part of the Mesorah, part of the Marasha, and based on that Hipaskin, if that were to be the case, you should burn such a Sefer Torah. I know you're thinking nowadays it doesn't really work anymore because they don't let us, you know, write our own oaths. You know, sometimes they'll let you hold the elbow, maybe the back of the pen. You know, now that I've got a long beard, they've always asked me, they said, do you want to write your own letter? Like, even then, it's just filling in the what they made. So I've yet to say yes. I get too nervous. Like if you go out of the line, so they can fix it. I just feel bad, like you know, ruining it. So I've yet to actually fill in the letter on my own. But even nowadays, this wouldn't work because they'll never let you write your own oaths. But back then, it worked. And based on the minhag, Yipaskin, that you would burn such a sefer Torah. This shows you the koach of a minhag, the koach of the Mesorah, the koach of Marasha. No, not necessarily Apikoros. It depends on what the minhag is and
you're over
Lo Sasser, but it wouldn't necessarily make you an Apikoros per se.
So why would you go to the Torah then?
Right, so I guess for this particular case, this was such a, I guess he felt this was a strong minhag that Sofrim practiced for many, many years. He felt that this would just indicate, not that, if we knew the guy was a kosher yid, he just didn't do this one minhag, I don't think Rabbi Kivi Eger would say he's not bikkuris for that. It's not one of the main principles. But because he felt it was a good indicator, if a guy didn't do this, then Mimele most likely didn't keep other things as well. But if we knew the guy was a kosher yid, everything else was perfect, and the only problem was this one minhag, that wouldn't render him a bikkuris. But if we didn't know him any better, and we knew he didn't follow this minhag, he felt that was a strong enough raya that this person must have been a min. Hear
that? In that story, it's not that that minhag is clashing with another halacha. It's just we have nothing else to judge the story based off, so we'll use the minhag.
Correct.
Is that an example of where a minhag is clashing with halacha?
No, right. To be more precise, it's just where we're using a minhag to establish a certain psak. But it's not a clash. It's not a direct clash. Well, a direct clash, a great example, which I'm sure a lot of you know this story. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a brilliant shiur. All his shiur were brilliant, but he once gave a brilliant shiur about what to do Friday night Kiddush. And he proved that for the, some people's fathers stand up, some people stand and then sit for the second half of Kiddush. So Rav Soloveitchik proved that the first half of Kiddush should be said standing up. It's Vayechul HaShemayim. It's an Eidus, the Gemara says. You're testifying that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. An Eidus must be said Be'amida. That's why many are mocked, but if they miss Vayechulu Friday night after davening and they're still davening Shemir Esrei, they ask someone to say it with them because it's Eidus. You need two people for Eidus. Mishnah Berurah says you should ask someone. Chazanish says it's not really Eidus, so you don't have to worry about it. Fine. But either way, Vayechulu is some form of Eidus. So you should stand up for Vayechulu. And then he proved you should sit down for the second half because you're being Kovei Asuda. And when you're Kovei Asuda, you have to sit down to be Kovei Asuda. So that was a brilliant shir. So then that Shabbos, he was in yeshiva, and Rav Soloveitchik was saying Kiddush Friday night. So they're all just watching him. He's holding the Becher, and he says, Vayechulu, standing up. He says the Bracha. And then comes the second half, they're expecting him to pull his chair out and sit down, and he stood up for the remainder of Kiddush as well. Of course, he had planned this, and he gave the shir before that Shabbos to have a teaching moment. So what happened? All the Talmidim ran over, Rebbe, you just taught us that you're supposed to sit down. What is this? You teach one thing, you do something else? It's a stira. He says, Minag avoseichem biyadeichem. We have a minag we have to follow. I just proved to you in halacha there's a certain way to do something, but when the minag clashes with this halacha, the minag, sometimes, if it's a strong minag and if there's reasons for the minagim, that minag can override the halacha as well. My father gives me a hard time because he stands for the whole Kiddush and I stand for the whole Kiddush as well. But I sit when I drink. That's a different din. When you drink, you're supposed to sit down. Everyone, Chuli Alma agrees, you're supposed to drink sitting down. So I sit down when I drink. My father says, you see, the Rav Soloveitchik story, you don't listen to Rav Soloveitchik. My minhag is to stand for the whole thing. I said, no, Dad, I stand for the whole thing also. I just sit when I drink. It's a different thing. He just, okay, whatever. It's not really upsetting me. It's just that it has happened several times. Okay, now I'm not saying if your father's going to get upset at you, you should sit down. Maybe it's better to stand up and drink. If your father will really talk and get upset at you, but we could talk about that if that's the case. Yeah, you have a question? Okay. So now, so this idea of, again, the clashing between halacha or minhagim or being megala what the psak is based on halacha comes up in several areas. So you saw the Gemara and Psachim where they didn't know what to do when Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos. Erev Pesach, Yudal Nisan, of course, is when you bring the Karban Pesach. So when it falls out on Shabbos, you also, your docha Shabbos to shech the Karban Pesach. But what happens if a person didn't bring the knife and there's no Erev? How do you get the knife from your house to the Beis HaMikdash? There's no Erev. It's Shabbos. On Yontif, you could do that. But Erev Pesach is never Yontif anyways. So you have a Shabbos. So they said, let's go ask the great Tzaddik Hillel HaBavli. He was Meshamesh, great Tamidi Chachamim, Gdoli Hador. He must have the Mesorah for this. And he didn't remember. He forgot the Halacha. Which happens. You know, I guess it's a nice, maybe I'll speak about this later today. Yeah, it's a good topic, actually. Because some of you might be Rabbanim and some of you might not be. But as a Rav, as a Rebbe, it's important to sometimes say, I don't know. I don't know the answer. So let's talk about this afternoon. I think it's a good topic for this afternoon. Okay, we'll talk about the Indian of leadership and balancing gaiva and humility. So Hillel Bavli says, I don't know. I don't know the answers. So he said, but you know what? Hanach lehen liYisrael, let Klai Yisrael act as is. Im ein neviim heim, if they're not prophets themselves, because they weren't, b'nei neviim heim, they're the children of neviim, which is a reference to neviim such as Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, and even the Avos as neviim. They have a certain Mesorah, a certain tradition, a Marasha, that they'll know what to do. And whatever they do, they're right. And what happened the next day is they stuck the knife in the tzemer of the animals, and the animals brought the knives to the Beis HaMikdash. So this is another area where we see a minhag, a Mesorah, at least answered, was Machriya the Din, was Megalitas what the Pesach is. So this answers the question of the Rambam, I believe. The Rambam, on one hand, he says we do the mitzvahs because Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the tzivui. That's Torah tzivah lanu Moshe. But there's another element of Marasha Kilas Yaakov, which is a Mesorah that we have. So although we only do the mitzvahs as a tzivui for Moshe Rabbeinu, we still have to acknowledge what came from the Avos because there's a whole Mesorah, a whole Marasha. Now those minhagim may not date back to the Avos. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But there's some minhagim that just are created within our own families, within our own communities in Europe where they may have come from. Sfaradim Ashkenazim. These machlokism didn't exist by Moshe Rabbeinu's time. But whatever that minhag a person's family has, that tradition, that's the element of dating back to the history of where a person comes from, in his particular Mesorah. I think perhaps we could suggest that's one of the brachas we say in Kriyas HaTorah. We say, We say the brachas of Asher Nasan Lanu Taras Emes v'chayi Olam Tav Nisachenu. I think these two phrases could be these two elements. Asher Nasan Lanu Taras Emes is a reference to the giving of the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. And then, v'chayi Olam Nata B'sochenu, that which is implanted within us, that's part of who we are, our roots. That's the morasha. That's part of the derech eretz, the midos that we were zocha to have from our fathers, grandfathers, and ultimately the avos. This also, I believe, answers the question of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem. Because it's balancing between these two elements of Shema Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu. Baruch Shem is Yaakov Avinu. So we have some type of hybrid where we say Baruch Shem, but we whisper Baruch Shem. But that's the balance between Torah and Minhagim. There's a great Maisa with the Ramah. If you look at the Ramah, so all over Shulchan Aruch, he's always saying V'chei Nagu, Einanu Nagin. He'll say the halacha is this way, but we're Nagu Lahachmer, or we're Nagu Lahakel. So he dedicated his whole life to Minhagim, to establishing or just making clear what the Minhag was. So why is that? So there's a story, the story goes as follows. When the Ramah became a Rav in Krakow, so there's a very strange Minhag that was in place. The Minhag was that after a woman had given birth, so 6 weeks later, typically, when she's tar, she goes to the mikvah. So the practice was that she'd go to the mikvah, and then the mikvah lady would tell the gabbai in shul, and that Shabbos, the husband would get an aliyah. So this was entirely inappropriate that no one needs to know when the wife went to the mikvah. So they know, oh, Reuven got an aliyah Shabbos, that means this week his wife went to the mikvah. No one needs to know, no one should know that. So he came in and he abolished that minhag. That week, there was an individual who was on a business trip. He wasn't aware that they abolished the minhag. So his wife goes to the mikvah that week, and he comes to shul expecting to get an aliyah. But he didn't get called up. People get very insulted about not getting called up for aliyahs. Very insulted. So he was really insulted. So he asked afterwards the gabbai, what happened? Why didn't I get an aliyah? And he said, oh, the rabbi, this Ramah, the new rabbi, he was mevatel the minhag. Okay, so they did a little research. What came out was his wife actually never went to the mikvah. And the Ramah realized the big mistake he had made. The rabbi originally put this minhag into effect to ensure, to hold the women accountable that someone's checking that you're going to the mikvah. So this lady didn't have the accountability because they got rid of the minhag. But before then, when the minhag was in place, so the mikvah lady would know she'll be the aide Neman, that she went to the mikvah to make sure to tell the gabbai, to make sure to tell the husband. So Ramah realized his mistake, and he therefore took upon himself, moving forward, to always establish or to present what the minhag was. Even though the halacha may have said something else, the minhag is what overrides it. And that's why every page of Shulchan Aruch, v'chei nagu, anu nagu l'hachmir, anu nagu l'hakel, that was the Ramah's mission in life. So this also, I think this could connect to an incredible story. I spoke so many times this week. I don't know if I told you the story yet. If I did, stop me. Did I share the story about Rav Meir Shapiro yet with you? I didn't share the story. Okay. So the idea what we're talking about all week is the koach of Minhagim, the koach of Chachamim, the koach of Losasser, Bezdin, the power of man. So this story really drives this point home. So Rav Weinberger shared the story in shul a couple weeks ago in Shal Shudas. So we all were having nightmares that night. You'll see why. So Rav Meir Shapiro apparently shared the story during the construction of the yeshiva, which he was never zocher really to participate in. He passed away before he was ever active. But at one of the stages of the construction, I don't remember which stage, he shared this story with the tzibur. There was a machlokis in his town about who bought a certain chelek in the cemetery. Reuven thought he bought it. Shimon thought he bought it. So Meir Shapiro, as the Rav, had to figure out who bought it. So what do you do? So he went back to the opening up. You know, not everything's in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes you have to just figure out Metzias. So he went to the cemetery house, the home, the funeral home, and he went through the books, the keeping logs of who bought what and when. So I imagine it was like, you know, a list of numbers, And then there's a guy's name, and then the price, and then where to find that chelek in the cemetery. So he's trying to find everything. And then he comes across a story that was written in this notebook. Very odd to have a story in a notebook of sorts. So he read the story, and he shared the following story with his tzibur. Years earlier, there was a young man who got married to a young woman. And 3 months in, the wife died. So the husband was, of course, devastated. So the husband went to speak to his rav. What to do? Get some chizik, some etzah. And the rav says, listen, you have to be able to move on. You have to be able to, you know, find a new wife and get married, start all over again. So the husband said, you know, I can't, because when my wife was sick, she made me swear not to ever get remarried. So I'm bound by this shrua now. So the rav threw up his hands. He didn't know what to do. So he sent him, go speak to the marshal. Marshal, the great rav, a great tzaddik, he'll hopefully help you out. So the young man goes to the marshal and tells him his predicament. And the marshal says, you're not bound by the shrua at all. Firstly, you're chayiv and have puruvu. You're mushma mehar Sinai. You're sworn in to have children. So now you're stuck. You can't have children because you can't get married. The shrua is not chal on that. And a few other reasons the shrua isn't chal. Go get married. I give you a bracha. You should find that wife very soon. Months later, he finds a new wife, gets married. 3 months later, the man dies after remarrying. So everyone understood that the marshal made a mistake, that the man was bound by the shrua. And the Gemara says those who don't keep shruas, bad things happen for those people. So no one really wanted to tell the marshal that he made a mistake. But eventually someone had to tell him that the guy died. So it was reported to the marshal that these two people died. This person died, rather. The man died. So Marshal says, do as follows. Tell the Chevra Kedisha to do the Tara. Dig a grave. Put the man in this Tachrichim in the grave. But don't cover him up. When you do that, when you put him in the ground, come get me. So the Chevra Kedisha did this. And they told the Marshal that, the guy's in the ground. In Tachrichim, there's no dirt on top of him. So the Marshal takes out a paper and pen. And he writes, L'chavod Bezdin Shemala. I decide down here that the Shrua is not Chal, the Torah is Lo B'Shemayimi, and I'm gozer that you bring this guy back to life. Okay? So he folds the paper up, hands it to the Shliach, says, please place this in the guy's hand in the ground, close up his hand, and then everyone should leave and make sure there's a Shomer outside the cemetery, no one comes in. So they do it, put in his hand, close the hand, leave, and there's a shomer outside waiting. As you can imagine, sometime in the middle of the night, the shomer hears some walking in the cemetery, and it's the guy in his tachrichim coming out. The shomer runs for his life. So the man, now alive, decides to go home to see his wife, and his wife screams. So the man now goes to the Beis Medrash, and they just scream. There's a walking zombie. So some guys ran to tell the marshal, your guy came back to life, I don't know what to do with this guy, please help him out. So the marshal says, send him to me, send the guy to me. So the guy goes to the marshal, and the marshal, the guy says to the marshal, I don't want to be alive. My wife is scared of me, my friends are scared of me, my neighbors are scared of me, I'd rather be dead. Marshal says, I'm going to make another gezeira that everyone's going to forget what happened, except for the person who's running the funeral home. He'll write down in a piece of paper what happened. This way someone will know the koach of chacham. And that there's a God in this world. And that was a gezeira he made. Everyone forgot about it, and everything was fine. And this was the story that Rav Meir Shapiro apparently found and had shared. Whether it's true or not, I have no idea. But this is just a reflection, an example or a story, a wild story, about the koach of chacham, the koach of Bezdin. So I believe this is pshat in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, which you guys went through, that one line, you know, there's an entry exam to become a member of Sanhedrin. So I was an actuary, so I had to take a few exams before you advance. Now, doctors need to take exams, dentists, lawyers, boards, and the bar. So you need to take an exam to be a member of Sanhedrin. Makes sense. How do you know who's going to roy, who's not roy? Actually, I got an interesting email. I get emails often about people wanting to come speak in Esh Kodesh. I often just ignore them. That comes with, I guess, the conversation later on about humility versus gaiva. People presenting, I'm able to give this and give that shir, and I have this topic and that topic. And the best is when they have like an agent speak for them. And so recently I got an email that his agent was speaking on behalf of this rabbi, that this guy is great, and people say that if there was a Sanhedrin, he would be the head of the Sanhedrin. So I deleted that one very fast. So you need to get into the Sanhedrin. There's a test. And the Gemara even tells you what the test is. It's like in Misora. You get Misora in YU and Landers also. I imagine you also have Misora test in Landers. Maybe not. I know in YU there's Landers. There was a Misora test. So you get Misora. Here's the test. But you have to know the answer. What's the answer to the question? So the question is, Ein Moshivin B'Sanhedrin Elamishi Odeya Latahir Es Hasheretz Min HaTorah. The only person who could be in Sanhedrin if he could prove that a Sheretz is Tahor. Now, of course, it doesn't make any sense because a Sheretz is Tameh. So, okay, there's a way to prove it. You could prove that it's true, that it's Tahor. But Lamaisa, it's not. So the simple understanding is, we want to see how smart you are. Can you prove the opposite of what's reality? It's a really hard test. I think the test is different. A different reason. Imagine you're working really hard on a certain pshat, a certain psak. And you might even be true. You know, the Mishnah, and I learned Mishnah with my sons, we just learned the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, about when Yom Kippur falls out, the new month, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yeshua proved that the new month was a certain day. And Rabbi Gamliel says, I don't care, afal pi kein, I'm the Nasi, I make the decisions here. And Rabbi Gamliel says, I want you to show up to me with your cane and your wallet on the day that you think is Yom Kippur, though for me it's not Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yeshua was very scared to do this. And he met Rabbi Kiva along the way. Rabbi Kiva says, don't worry. He brought Joshua that whatever Bezdin says, even though it's wrong, Bezdin has the right to make decisions like this. Rabbi Yeshua came. Oh, and as hard as it was for him, he came on that day to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel kissed him on the head. Talmidi, Rebbe, you're my student, but you're also my Rebbe. You're my Rebbe in that you are greater than me, but you're a Talmud in that you listen to me. So imagine how Rabbi Yeshua felt. He was right, but he gave in to Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, and the Bezdin. So now, imagine you just proved the impossible. You proved the impossible that a Sheretz is actually Tahor. Are you willing to go back and say, Afal Pikein, we have a Mesorah. We have a tradition we have to listen to. That's the test. Because it's like, imagine, you won the race. You won. You got the prize. I remember when I was in fifth or sixth grade, we had this great teacher. Her name was Mrs. Seba. And she had all these different math sheets you have to do, and you get points for them. Puzzlers, they were called, math puzzlers. And so there was one sheet that only one person in their history of teaching ever got it right. It was like triangles, I remember. And you have to count how many triangles there, like small triangles, bigger triangles, bigger triangles, bigger triangles, and figure out how many triangles were there total. So Baruch Hashem, I got it right. I was one of the two, at least in my time, to get it right. So like that's like the impossible. Like I spent all day, like weeks figuring it out. I wanted to like beat the challenge. So you won. You figured out how is a Sheretz Tahor. And you're proud of yourself. But will you back down when the Minog and the Masorah and the Marasha say otherwise? That's what I really believe is the test. And it's really true in Yiddishkeit, balancing between Torah and Marasha, Torah and Minhagim, Torah and Masorah. So I guess with that, I was going to share another story with you, but I'm going to hold it off, I think, maybe over Shabbos. A very, very neat story about a certain Yerusha. I didn't share this with you yet. A Yerusha I got recently. So I'll hold off for Shabbos. Remind me. I'm not sure at what point, but it's an incredible story, I think. And we'll talk about it later. So I guess for now we'll stop. Mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow with the next topic. Yeah. But the Gemara.